Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to TC Live as we continue the road to Roland Garros with play from the Billie Jean King Cup and Monte Carlo. We'll let you know what the U.S. needs to do to reach the finals in Asheville. And will an American make the Final Four in Monaco for the first time in nearly three decades? A lot to get to. Over the next 30 minutes, we've got all the best highlights and analysis, plus a chance for you to win a trip to the Hall of Fame. And secrets out on a top 10 WTA star who idolized Andy Roddick. Welcome into our studios in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman in between a couple of Hall of Famers. I got Tracy Austin to my left. And on the big screen, we've got the aforementioned Andy Roddick. We'll let you know who other than myself idolized Andy Roddick growing up. We got to start with the Billie Jean King Cup, Tracy. And a little different vibe this year in Asheville as the Russian war on Ukraine kind of changed the U.S. approach. It's not an opponent. They're a host of Ukraine this year.
I think Shelby Rogers said it so well. We're really interested in showing the Ukraine team so much hospitality. And almost every single player that was interviewed said this tie is so much bigger than tennis with everything that's going on in Ukraine. And for these young ladies to have to play with what's going on in their country, it's just amazing. It's so emotional.
USDA donating 10% of ticket revenue to the Ukrainian Crisis Relief Fund. Billie Jean King herself donating $50,000, a blue and yellow ribbon painted on the court. We'll have all the highlights from Asheville coming up later on TC Live. But let's start in Monte Carlo. What a day we had. Taylor Fritz looking to break a tie with Rafa Nadal for the most wins on tour this year. Heck of a battle, Andy, against Alejandro Davidovich-Fokina.
Yeah, it's always good when you're at least tied with Rafa in something, none with the opportunity to go further. But Taylor's been in such control of his game, but in such control of his emotions. But let's not forget about Davidovich-Fokina. The way this guy moves, you can almost hear him rip through the court when he takes off. Moves like nothing I've ever seen before. You know, what Alcaraz was doing with this movement in Miami, Fokina's doing here in Monte Carlo. Obviously, tight part. He did that a lot against Djokovic, too. Was able to kind of feed the ball up the line, off the back end. That's his kind of winner shot there. Taylor's been in these matches over and over again over the last 4 or 5 weeks. So it was surprising to see him kind of give away that easy break there in the third set. And I would have said this was an unnecessary dive in the spirit of Gimelstab and Luke Jensen, except that he actually won the point. It was a fake dive that worked out. You don't see that very often. I appreciate the effort. I thought it was theater, and then it worked. So what the hell do I know, Steve? But anyways, Fokina deserved the match here. Really fun till the end. Deserved to win it. But hey, listen, props to Fritz. Almost lost in the first round to a guy ranked 400 in the world, a local wild card. Got some value out of this tournament. Fought to the quarterfinals. Props to Davidovich-Fokina. The dream is still alive.
It is indeed. First Masters semifinal for the Spaniard. And look at the Spanish success so far this year. Rafa Nadal, three titles, just that one loss to Taylor Fritz. Carlos Alcaraz, he's at 11 in the world, two titles, 18-3 this year. And Davidovich-Fokina into the semifinals in Monte Carlo. He got some FaceTime with Prakash.
When you watch dives out there on the court, it's one of the most beautiful things to see, but I don't think I've ever seen it on a return of serve, and you somehow won the point. Please explain how this came.
You know, when you are 5-3 in the third set, 50-30, and against Nole, you dive like 20 times. You know, I was practicing for that moment, and, amazing. You know, I just was surprised that he missed that smash because it was an easy ball. And after that, I was like, okay, this is mine.
Wow. Easy ball. After that, it's mine. That's all you can say there. Monte Carlo, by the way, Tracy, it's a home match for Grigor Dimitrov. Lives there. He's found a lot of success over the years in Monaco, facing Hubie Hurkacz today.
Yeah, the only break of serve was in that fifth game of the opening set, and he rode the wave to 6-4. Kurt Koch served much better in that second set. How about that drop shot? Not your ordinary drop shot. The behind the back hand clap from Dimitrov. And then it was a third set. It actually broke each other a couple of times. This was topsy-turvy. Great tennis, though. And Kurt Koch gets the break there with that huge forehand up the line. And what does Dimitrov do? He uses the crowd, who were so behind him, to get up. Oh, he listened to Andy Roddick with that racket smash. You got to go flat, like Andy says. And, of course, this match goes to a tiebreak. And it was Dimitrov who got the early lead by just playing really controlled tennis. Topspin when he needed it. He said he used the slice to keep it down low, below Hurkacz's knees. And just really an excellent tiebreak to get through to the semifinals.
More wins on clay this year, Tracy, than he had all of last year. Grigor Dimitrov, second semifinal in Monte Carlo, now has a record of 20-8 in Monte Carlo. And by the way, half of those losses came to the 11-time champ, Rafa Nadal. So, Andy, a couple things here. One, you got to hear from Davidovich Fokina on why he dove there, and now setting up this matchup against Grigor Dimitrov.
Yeah, he can explain why he dove. That was theater until it wasn't, Steve. But listen, Grigor Dimitrov, I think at this point we can call him one of the streakiest players on the tour, right? He's either in a semi or he's losing first round, but he found his groove here. I mean, beating Casper Ruud, beating Hubie Hurkacz. Oh, by the way, those guys are in form. They both played well in Miami, were able to transition over to the red clay. So for me, this matchup is entirely about, can Dimitrov create enough space, get those short balls, and actually move forward like he has been so far this tournament? And also, what's that first serve going to do for Dimitrov, right? Is he going to have to defend his second serve all day, which obviously is like blood in the water for Davidovich Fokina, or is he going to be able to, if not get free points, set up that first shot tennis to where he can get forward? Davidovich Fokina is running everywhere. I mean, this guy is lightning out there. The guy can straight up move.
And what a competitor he is. It's really, I find that he didn't have a letdown after beating Novak Djokovic. That's amazing. Followed up by beating Goffin and then Taylor Fritz today. The guy is a fierce competitor, so hungry. Doesn't matter what the score is. You feel like he's playing point by point. He's going to make Grigor Dimitrov earn it. Now, I think Grigor, when he uses that backhand slice to slow up the pace and then goes big, heavy topspin on the forehand, he has so much variety in his game, can finish points off at the net. But Grigor is going to have to play a clean match from start to finish to take out that fiery competitor.
Absolutely. They played once before. It was in Rome last year. Davidovich Fokina got the win there. Andy, over and under five dives for Davidovich Fokina in this match coming up.
I mean, you're basically asking me if, in two sets, five dives, no problem.
Okay. We're taking the over on the Spaniard there. We had another blockbuster in Monte Carlo. They just kept coming. Alexander Zverev hadn't dropped a set all tournament. That would end against Jannik Sinner in a thriller, Andy.
Yeah, and he did to Sinner what Sinner did last round, right? Drop kind of a first set, play a little sloppy at the end, and then turn it. And, you know, Zverev is a veteran. At this point, there aren't a lot of scenarios that he hasn't been through. So I don't know what this was. Maybe he was going with the confuse and conquer method. Instead, he went like, I'm going to be really smart, but you know what? I'll just double fault instead. So I don't know why he would ever give up a first serve at any time. The first serve isn't the issue for him traditionally. So, but it was able to kind of hang in there. Sinner hung in there and said, okay, I'll take your gift and I'll break back. Sinner's been playing to this crowd. There's a lot of Italian fans there. And I like the way he's actually using the crowd this week. But listen, Zverev can create an egg, creating that sort of angle and then having it kind of countered by Sinner. That's unbelievable. That's just stuff that us mortals aren't able to do, Steve. But Zverev, listen, never out. Is able to fight that off. Sinner, again, playing to the crowd. This is like a roller coaster. I'm like a glass house of emotion after this day in Monte Carlo. But that was one that just got away from him. Five ball, that's a tight forehand. There's no way, ifs, ands, or buts about it. We try to kind of gloss over that a lot of the time, but that was just a tight forehand. And Sinner has been playing clutch tennis all week, but 2-1-4 stairs to finish the match. You see what that win meant to Zverev. He says, I'm not going to yell once. I'm going to yell many, many, many times, Steve. But he's through to the semifinals. Good match for Zverev. I don't know what that move is, but anyway, he got the win.
He said, I've lost so many matches like that this year. I think this one will definitely help. And just when you thought the drama was over, we've got Stefano Tsitsipas and Diego Schwartzman. Andy, this was a roller coaster of emotions.
I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on all day, Steve, watching all of these matches. I'm like, oh, this guy looks great. Oh, wait, he's about to lose. Anyways, but you see Tsitsipas, he's at his best when he's actually coming forward like that. But Schwartzman is never out of a point. You have to feel that as an opponent. You're never going to get the easy point. He makes you work for everything. He makes you put on the hard hat. And when your nerves are getting away from you, this guy's just running down every single ball. Was actually able to build up a 4-0 lead in the third set when, of course, Tsitsipas was going to come back. That was the theme of the day, Steve. Every time we got comfortable with a scoreline, it switched a little bit. But props to Tsitsipas because he looked down, out, frustrated, like he wasn't going to give it a go. And this isn't the hot shot of the day. I don't know what we're doing. A relevant point, Steve, and a dive that was absolutely necessary. Gets that one down, is able to give himself match point. And look at the court coverage. Even on this last point of the day, the court coverage from Schwartzman, side to side, but clips that line, gets a little bit of a bounce. Tsitsipas is going, wait, did I actually win? This is great. All right, I won't make you wait any longer. I will shake your hand. Gutsy, gutsy, gutsy win for Tsitsipas because it looked for all the entire third set like he wasn't going to get through it.
This is the first time in the Open era all four quarterfinal matches came down to a decisive third set in Monte Carlo. So we've got the semifinals set for you, 7:30 a.m. Eastern for Davidovich, Fokina, Dimitrov. And then those two don't like each other, Tsitsipas and Zverev, 6-3 head-to-head to the Greek, Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Let's get straight to Asheville. Billie Jean King Cup qualifiers. Ali Risk up first for Team USA, taking on Diana Yastremska, who had never lost when representing her country in this event, Tracy.
Yeah, Yastremska in the near court. She's just coming from Bogota on clay. She said she felt comfortable on the surface. Look at the scoreline. That's right. 14 all, back and forth, each having set points, each hitting the ball so hard, especially Yastremska. She likes to stand right on that baseline and penetrate off both forehand and backhand. Ali Risk so accurate, and finally at 18-17, she gets across the finish line. That's right, big sign of relief and emotion. And the second set also tight for Alison Risk. She played the big point. She was very, very clutch. She used the angles, used to open up the court, finish points off at the net, and this has got to feel good for Risk to come out and play so well in the opening match because there's so much pressure just not normally playing for more than just yourself. You're playing for your country.
Thank you so much,
to
USA.
Play in those big moments, really reliable tennis, terrific hug at the end. She knows that it's so important for Ukraine to come here and to play for their country.
So Ali Risk put Team USA up 1-0. That's the setup for Jessie Pegula, making her BJK Cup singles debut for the U.S. and another singles debutante, Katerina Zavatska for Ukraine, Tracy.
Yeah, Zavatska in the near court, and you never really felt like
Game
she was going to have
USA.
The weapons on this quick indoor hard court. Jessica Pegula, her game is tailor-made for this surface. She has great balance, strikes the ball cleanly, can hit so close to the sidelines, hit with depth. She comes out with confidence. Quick opening set, and for Zavatska, she's always feeling rushed. She had some good points in the match, but it was Jess Pegula who had just way too much power, all of the answers, and didn't seem to play with any pressure at all. Playing for the United States because that is a big moment. And I think it helped that Alison Risk already had that 1-0 in the scoreline for the United States.
Game
so pretty straightforward for Jessica Pegula.
And she puts the U.S. up 2-0. Captain Kathy Rinaldi feeling good right now as her squad just one win away from making it back to the finals later this year. You can see it on Tennis Channel and TC Plus Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern. The ones against the ones. It's Pegula, Yastremska, if necessary. Risk, Zavatska, and the doubles to follow that. Des Kravchek trying to make her Billie Jean King Cup debut. Andy, you're a former Davis Cup champion. What's the American pride you feel when you take the court, stars and stripes on your back?
Well, there's no pressure like it. For better or worse, it was actually easier for me to play on the road early in my Davis Cup career because I felt so much pressure playing at the home matches. But listen, the court's lightning. We're in Asheville. The atmosphere seems great. But the most important thing is how classy Captain Rinaldi is, how classy all of the players are being and welcoming this Ukrainian team who needs that love, who need that hospitality. You saw during the opening ceremonies, I've never seen it in my life, going over and hugging the other team right before you take the court. the circumstances involved with this make that a necessary thing. I'm so proud of the U.S. and the way that they've behaved during this tie and the hospitality they've shown to Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that they've been able to welcome this team, and the Ukrainian team has said that they do feel welcome. But then the USA team has been able to separate that, go out on court and play so well. And as Andy spoke, I've never felt anything like it when you have that USA flag on your shirt, or I had it on my pockets, on my dress, and they play the national anthem beforehand, and you're representing something bigger than yourself. It's pretty special.
Yeah, Cathy Rinaldi said a couple days ago, opponents on the court, but one big family off the court, and Team USA, a 2-0 lead right now against Ukraine in the Billie Jean King Cup qualifiers. Much more still to come here on TC Live is which one of these stars idolized Andy Roddick as a junior? More TC Live after this.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Andy, Tracy, Steve back with you on TC Live. A reminder to make tennis.com your online information source during the road to Roland Garros. Right now, Peter Bodo writes that not all is well in the world number one's world, but all is warm and fuzzy with Felix Auger-Aliassime and Lolo Jones. Check it out.
I want to challenge you to a speed challenge test because I'm a sprinter.
Okay.
So I want to see who can tie our shoe faster.
Okay.
On your mark.
Both or shoes or just one?
On your mark, set, yeah. Go. Oh, no, I got slow in the paint.
Oh, no.
Ah!
No, that's so bad. That's a pretty good challenge, though.
Sometimes we take off our shoes.
I know.
All of our awesome warm and fuzzy segments available on tennischannel.com and the Tennis Channel app. You don't want to miss them. Still to come on the show, Andy and Tracy tell you their favorite tennis rivalries of all time. And that can help you win a trip to Newport, Rhode Island. Don't miss that. Welcome back. Coverage of the Billie Jean King Cup continues on Saturday. You can find it on TC Plus and T2 if you've got a Samsung TV. Emma Raducanu getting a win for Great Britain. They're all knotted up with the Czech Republic. 1-1 Romania down 2-0 to Poland right now. Spain with a big lead and the U.S. looking to close it out against Ukraine. Well, last weekend, Belinda Bencic defeated Ons Jabeur to take the title in Charleston. Jabeur was left in tears after, but earlier in the week, it was all smiles as she told Sabine Lisicki about one of her tennis idols.
I read that Andy Roddick is your idol.
Yeah.
When did that happen? When did you start liking him and why?
Okay.
What was it?
He's cute also, you know. don't tell my husband.
That husband, yes.
I think I, for some reason, I've been watching him a lot when I was young and along other players, but I like his humor on court. I kind of, the personality matches and I love his serve, love the way he's like competitive on the court, and I haven't met him yet, to be honest
with you.
Oh, no? No.
Oh, we have to change that, see?
You know, when I used to play juniors, since we played the second week, and he was, I think, at the end of his career, and he was losing before,
oh, no.
So I was like, no.
Oh, she didn't make it to the finals when she was in the juniors, Andy.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but listen, anytime you get props from someone who is as much of an inspiration as Ons Jabeur is, and as well liked as Ons Jabeur is, I think I commented many times last summer, I think she has to be the most hugged player on tour. She doesn't ever shake hands. She just hugs everyone whenever they're done with a match. She's like the Tracy Austin, but like currently everyone just wants to hug her all the time.
Andy, when are we going to set up the meeting?
The meeting.
She wants to meet you.
Hey, listen, I'd be honored, but maybe it's her turn to get to the second week of the U.S. Open. That's normally where I work with Tracy that entire week in the suites there. But I would love to meet her. I think she's so great. I love watching her play. She's just such a shot maker. It's an honor for me. I'm humbled. She's great.
All right, second week of the U.S. Open. It's a date.
She thinks you're cute.
Yes. How about this? The Tennis Hall of Fame is putting out a contest right now. Tennis Hall of Fame Enshrinement Sweepstakes. Most iconic moments in tennis history. Fans in the U.S. can win two tickets to this year's Enshrinement Ceremony in Newport, Rhode Island. You got to go online. Five categories, eight options. So one of the categories is most epic rivalry. Tracy, I'll start with you. What do you think is the most epic rivalry in tennis?
I am going to go with Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova. The fact that they played 80 times over 16 seasons is absolutely incredible. All the way from Akron, Ohio in 73 to Chicago in 88. And how about the difference in styles? You had Chris, who was America's sweetheart, a righty from the baseline, loved playing on clay. Seven times she won at Roland Garros. You have Martina Navratilova. The athleticism was off the chart. She was nine-time champion at Wimbledon, and of course the lefty and the serve and volley. What we loved also was that they really seemed to care about each other, but they competed so hard against each other on court.
I'm with you, Tracy. That would be mine as well. Chrissy, Martina, Andy, your most epic rivalry?
Yeah, it'd be boring if I just echoed everything Tracy said, so I'll go another direction, even though I can't disagree with her. For me, it's about who you watched when you were a kid. That nostalgia like lives inside of you, and for me that was Pete and Andre. But similarly to what Tracy said, I think she nailed it. The contrast of game styles, of personalities, you have to kind of make a choice, right, of who you like more. And mine was always changing. I was in that golden age of American fandom where there was always someone in the final. And to get to actually be on Davis Cup teams with both of them eventually, get to know them away from the court eventually. Andre was a mentor to me when I first came out. That's the time where my reality never matched my fandom from a kid. It was pretty great.
That was your Ange Jabeur moment. This is yes. What you do. You go to tennisfame.com/vote, tweet using the hashtag ITHFMomentsVote, and voting through Saturday, April 30th. Try to get a couple tickets to this year's Enshrinement. Most epic rivalry, best Cinderella story, best comeback within a match, most iconic celebration, moment of national pride. We've got all of that. Coming up on Saturday, we've got the Billie Jean King Cup on T2 starting 5 a.m. Eastern. On Tennis Channel, the Monte Carlo semifinals, 7:30 a.m. Eastern. TC Live follows all the action. Back after this. Back for our hot shot of the day. It was a day of everything, Andy, but this had to be the best of the best.
There was only one choice. I think I would have walked off in protest had this not been chosen, Steve. And you see him come in, misses direction, but to take the pace off of it, make that ball check. Watch this on the volley, fully laid out, but also makes a check against the guy who you know is one of the fastest guys on tour. And if you pop that up, he's there with enough time and the court's wide open. But also the body control, not to do a full roll and to get up before you actually hit the net. I like a lot of parts of this one, Steve. This was a proper hot shot.
And for a winner as well, the defending champ moving on to the semifinals. Our coverage on Saturday starts 7:30 a.m. Eastern for Monte Carlo. Dimitrov, Davidovich, Fokina, then Tsitsipas, Zverev. Of course, we've got the BJK Cup between the U.S. and Ukraine at 1 p.m. Eastern. But first, let's head back to Monte Carlo for a preview with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at the DraftKings Tennis Channel desk. P semifinal Saturday, and one of those semifinals features Monte Carlo resident Grigor Dimitrov playing Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. Can the Spaniard keep his momentum and get past the Bulgarian?
Well, look, they've played once on clay last year in Rome, and Fokina clipped him 6-4, 7-6. But I think things are a little bit different now. Grigor is really using the energy of the crowd. He seemed like he was playing very well at the right moments against Hurkacz. Fokina's coming in with a tremendous amount of confidence, but I think it's playing a little bit quicker here, and I'm actually looking for Grigor to get a little revenge. I think he's going to come through.
Reaching the business end of the tournament, excited for semifinal Saturday. Time to go back to our headquarters in Santa Monica.
All right, thank you so much. And before we get to that, we got to go back to 2011. Memphis, Andy Roddick, Milos Raonic. Tracy, take us through this legendary hot shot.
This is the final, and Andy gives it the full dive. And you didn't know whether that was in or not, but you heard the crowd erupt. Yes, I just won the title. Is my
Match
knee okay?
Point.
Is my elbow okay? Give me the trophy.
What do you remember from that, Andy?
I remember I actually didn't see the ball land. And for those who thought I still had hair, they were aware that it didn't after that dive. But hey, listen, I remember I was running a fever of about 100 before that match. I did not feel good. And so to finish on that, I think I was happy to win the tournament. Two, Milos probably should have won that match four times. Three, I felt like crap and I just wanted to get off the court. I'll take the win. That was probably one of the best shots of my career. Wow. Luckiest also.
Do you still have a scar from that or did it all heal up?
Well, how can we get something there? I don't know. There's scars everywhere, Steve.
That was worth it.
That was worth it. You know, that's just the will of a champion. If he had stayed on his feet, he wouldn't have been able to get to that ball. So just fantastic. What an athlete.
Amazing. Can't wait for semifinal Saturday, plus the Billie Jean King Cup. Tracy, great to have you. We'll see you tomorrow once again. Andy killed it as always. Our coverage from Monte Carlo continues next right here on Tennis Channel.